Have you ever been, I just thought about this while the choir was singing, have you ever been told, you know, when you're looking for a place or you're looking for, you know, maybe a road or something, that ever been told, you know, just go down so far and you can't miss it? Ever been told that? Have you ever missed it? Even though you've been told you can't miss it. You would think that people couldn't miss the glory, right? You'd think they couldn't. I mean, it's, the signs are all around us. The creation just shouts, doesn't it, of a God who cares and loves and has created and is powerful and awesome and mighty. But somebody miss it. May we not miss it. Kind of maybe as a segue into our lesson today that comes from chapter 6 of Jeremiah as we continue in this series that began a few weeks ago called Jewels from Jeremiah. I'm going to be focusing particularly on verse 16 in a lesson I'm calling The Good Old Ways. Now, I'm going to be drawing from the text as well, so if you want to open your Bibles and kind of consider that, because we'll be thinking about the larger context of what's going on in the whole book of Jeremiah, but particularly in chapter 6 as well, is God's people, as we have seen in the last few weeks, they've wandered away from God, far away from God. And as a result, that they found themselves far away from home. Because guess what? Where the Father is home. Now, he's pleaded with them, as we saw again last week, to come home. Time and again, come home. Just come home and all will be forgiven, right? Just come home. I will embrace you. I will love you. I will give you all of the good things. They said they would. We concluded our lesson last week with that. They said that they would. They would come home. But guess what? They didn't. Yet like a loving father whose rebellious child has run away, God won't give up on his kids. It just won't give up. He pleads for her to come home again, and all will be forgotten. All will be forgiven. All will be as it was before, and even perhaps better. Just come home. Yet it's kind of like she's been gone for so long and she's gone so far that she can't even remember how to get back. How to get turned around. How to find her way home. She can't seem to do that. And what we find in verse 16 of Jeremiah 6 is this loving call from the Father. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, do you hear that plea? Do you hear that? A call again to come home. To turn around, to come home. But hear me now. This is not a call to return to the good old days of our childhood. And that's sometimes what that's been reduced to. How many of you know that all the good old days weren't full of good old ways? Not all the old days were good even, right? Not all of them were. This is not a plea just to return to your youth again. That's not what it is. Neither is it a plea to do church the way we did 50 or 100 years ago. And you know what? I have known many a preacher pull this verse, you know, out, boy, and say, here you go. We got to get back to the way church used to be done. We got to get back there. Now, how many of you love the old hymns? Some are, no, you can be honest, you know, I love many of the old hymns. Can I put it that way? Some of them I'm not so fond of. I mean, there were some we sang, I didn't have a clue what I was singing when I was in church. Some of it I didn't understand. I didn't get it. And they didn't necessarily, you know, when I sing them now, I even think, yeah, it still doesn't. If I didn't know now what that meant, but not every hymn was my favorite. Some of them were. My daughter Sarah in Michigan is on the prayer list. Just like you to pray for her. She's going through kind of a difficult time in her life. She told her mom the other day that when she was at church service with my granddaughter, they sang one of the old hymns. "'Tis so sweet to trust Jesus." And boy, it really touched her. It meant so much to her. You know, she turned to my granddaughter and said, "I sang that when I was your age." in church. You remember that. Sometimes there's some fondness, right, with old hymns, and it's okay for that to happen. But this is not a plea, see, to go back to old hymns. Neither is it a call to get back to the King James Version. Even if that's your preference, I cut my teeth on that. You know, even if that's the version you prefer, it's not calling for us, you know, get back to the King James Version. It's not. See, the words here in Jeremiah 6 predate English altogether. So we're not talking about, you know, getting back to the old hymns, that none of those were written back in this time, okay? It's not, matter of fact, if it was a call back to the hymns they sang back then, you probably wouldn't like any of them, okay? You surely wouldn't be familiar with them. They wouldn't mean anything to you. They wouldn't. But nothing they would have done in their services, if you will, in their worship, would have probably been that appealing to us. Wouldn't a call back to those things? It wasn't methodology or even, hear me, theology that they were being called back to. If we think that methodology or theology is the way to find the Father when we've been wandering, we need to think again, because neither. It's not about a methodology. It's not even about a theology. Now, it's not a call, see, even to go back further to, like, the Restoration Movement. Anybody know what the Restoration Movement is? I'm proud to be part of that. I've been blessed to be part of the Restoration Movement, with the idea of let's get back to doing things the way that, you know, the church did them in the beginning, that we read about, like, in the book of Acts. That's noble. It's good. But it's not a call back to that because, listen, the church had not even been established for another 600 years from the time this is said. It's not a call to that. Not a call to get back to that. Or the Reformation period. You know, so many people think that Luther and Calvin had it all worked out. But listen, they didn't. And they never claimed to have it all worked out. They didn't. So it's not a call back to that. It's not a call back to Catholicism. Some think, well, that predates Reformation, so let's go back to that. No, it's not that either. Again, in my humble opinion, there's some misguided attempts there to blend the trappings of Judaism and faith in Christ that just weren't intended. The Lord spoke to them then, and there's application, don't misunderstand me, there's application, we want to talk about that, the relevancy here, of something for them to return to get back to. What was it? Well, it must have been a call to return to Jerusalem then for them, right? Certainly that was going to happen. They were in captivity, and the end of the 70 years of captivity that they were in historically was coming to a close, and they were going to be allowed to return. And he's wanting them to get ready for that, to be ready for that. But it's not just a callback to a place, to a region, a location. It's not even a callback to, you know, the way that they did worship then, you know, like the sacrificial system. You know, and the priesthood. You know, it's not a callback to that either. Because, you know, even as we saw last week in Jeremiah 3, verse 16, God was going to remove the Ark of the Covenant. You remember that? He was going to take that away. And never would another one even be made. He was removing it because they turned it into an idol. So it couldn't be seen a return back to that. And if you read on in Jeremiah, by the time you get to about chapter 31, you're going to find that God's going to remove that whole covenant. He says it's obsolete. It doesn't get the job done. Partially because, again, they were focusing on the rules. Again, see, the methodology, the intricacies of the covenant, and not on the relationship with God. He's going to take that away. He's going to remove that. So it's not a call back to that either. So what in the world is he talking about? What in the world is he talking about? Well, let's analyze a little bit. Remember, first he said, stand at the crossroads and look. This is the first thing. This is as needful today as it was then. We need to understand that there comes a time in life when we need to stop and ask the question, where am I going? Where am I headed? Where do I want to be? And is the way that I'm headed going to get me there? We need to all do that. We need to understand that there's a crossroads that does exist in our life. And that there's more than one path at these crossroads. Now hear me. Not more than one path to God, but more than one path. There are. I mean, there is. They don't all lead to the same place. Despite our culture of relativism, there is such a thing as right and wrong. There is such a thing as a right way and a wrong way. And there's only one right way to God. Only one. And no matter how many paths or roads that we see out there, and no matter how many people are telling us, hey, go down this road, go down there, we need to find the road, right, that leads to God. We need to make sure that we're on that road. Jesus would later say in Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14, that there's a broad path that leads to destruction. He says many travel upon it. He said that. So there's a path, right? Would you say that's the right way? It's the wrong way, right? It's the wrong way. Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's going on it, right? It's popular. Does that mean it's right? No. No. Jesus also said there was a narrow path. It leads to life. He said few find it. I've shared this before, that when I consider this text, and I consider what Jesus said, that if you ask, you receive, and if you seek, you'll find. How does that correlate? Why is it that if you seek, you'll find, but few find? Why is that? Well, I think it's because people aren't seeking. They're not seeking. They're not taking the time to stop and look. Not doing that. Because if they would, they'd find it, wouldn't it? I want to say, you can't miss it. I want to say, you can't miss it if you're looking for it. If you're seeking it, God says, we'll find it. But few do. There's this stubborn refusal, see, to stand at the crossroads and look. It's easier to go with the flow, isn't it? It's easier to just follow the crowd. It's easier just to blend in. There's comfort in that. Let's be frank. You know, there's a feeling of acceptance, you know, and fitting in, you know, when we're with the crowd. And the reality is there's something in our flesh that longs for that and seeks that rather than solitude with God. Am I right? Following the crowd makes us feel good. It gives a sense of belonging and feeling right, though historically the majority was seldom ever right. It's often not until we come to this fork in the road that presents us with a chance to choose a different path, that we even consider the possibility that we could choose, that we even think that, you know, that there could be another way. Yet God seems to be saying and telling us to take note that every road forward is a dead end. It's time to make a U-turn. I Googled this. I knew what I was looking for. You can do this, you know. Many of you know this. You can go ahead and do your Google Maps, but you can do the satellite thing. You can get right down there as a pedestrian looking around. It's kind of weird. Kind of crazy, you know, but you can do that, and I did that, and this is the intersection not far from here at all, you know, it's Sandy Hollow and Mulford. It's kind of a neat intersection. You come up to it, traveling down Sandy Hollow, you come to Mulford, and guess what? The road goes right and left, and there's this little bitty road that goes straight ahead with barriers. Once upon a time, evidently, they thought that road was going to go straight ahead, and it didn't. I've also heard that was true of Arnold, was going to connect all the way to Harrison. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Going forward's not an option unless you just want to go to a dead end. Life is like that sometimes, folks. The direction we're traveling, you may be able to go forward, but not very far, and you're going to come to a dead end. You're done. You can't go further. Time for a U-turn. That's why God, I believe, says, ask for the ancient paths. Ask for them. Now, too many have thought, and I was in this old kind of group myself at one time or another, that thought, you know what, there's got to be a new way. There's got to be. You know, because certainly the only way forward, the only way to get to know God is through some new way. listen very carefully. We're not looking for a new way. Hear me? Not about a new way. It's about an ancient path. It's not about blazing a new trail. It's about finding the old one. It's the ancient path we're to seek. That implies, again, to me, going back the way that they came. The ancient path. The path that they once followed. That they were once on. That they had left. Well, what is that path? Well, it's an old one. We know that. But again, remember, not every old path is a good one. In the book of Jude, we're warned not to go the way of Cain and Balaam and Korah. And if those names mean nothing to you, well, they're Old Testament characters that you can go back and you can read about the way that they went. We're not to go the way of them. Why? They weren't good ways. Well, they were old ways, weren't they? Yeah, but they weren't good ways. Not every old way is a good way. God's calling for his people, if you will, to put on the brakes for the way they're going. To put on the brakes, to rein in their horses, because they've been going in the wrong direction, full tilt, for too long. Time to, whoa, stop, turn around, and head back home. That's the idea. Yet remember, the old path is not necessarily always going to be one, because it's so less traveled, that it's going to be easy to find unless you're seriously determined to look for it. You'll have to be proactive. In essence, you've got to even ask. You notice that little word? Ask. Ask where it is. Ask who? Ask who? Who are you going to ask? Well, in Jeremiah's time, there were false prophets. Imagine that. There were prophets, again, who were constantly telling them, hey, you don't have to worry, don't be concerned. As a matter of fact, the scripture would tell us there that they were preaching peace. Peace, peace, peace. Everything's fine. You're good just the way you are. Don't sweat it. God's not going to do anything. Just go your way. Are there prophets like that today? Sure there are. Ready to lead us down a garden path to nowhere. So who are you going to ask? Who should you consult? Well, think again about their time frame. Maybe some men like Abraham and Moses might give them some insight. You think? Maybe some women like Deborah and Esther and Ruth might give them some insight, you know, about where this path was. Well, what kind of path are we talking about again? It's not a place, but it does have to do with personification or something. It's a path of faith and obedience is what it really is. When you think about it, that's what it is. Faith in God, obedience to his word. That begins with repentance. From the very get-go, that's what it involves. You know, an idea that, you know, says, you know what, okay, the path I'm taking, that's what repentance is all about. The path I'm on, the path I'm taking, the path that I'm following is not the right one. And I've got to turn around. I've got to turn around. I've got, because it's about turning. It's about turning. It's about a change of heart that develops with a changed life. It's a change. It's a turning around. A change of direction. That's why God tells them not just to ask. He says, ask where the good way is. Now, remember, it was an ancient path, but it's a good way. Not just any old path, right? The good one. The good path. And do what? And walk in it. See? Walk. Find that good path. Ask for it. And then walk in it. The good way is what's emphasized. We got to believe that there is such a way, but we've also got to believe that it can be found, and we've got to believe it can be walked upon. There's a path that we can take. Often in life, you know, I think that we may come to paths. You just think about it. If you were walking, take a nature walk, nature trails, I like to do that kind of thing. I should do more of it. I enjoy that. But you know, maybe going down a path, and you come to another path, you know, you can see it's kind of overgrown. It looks like it's a little rougher. It might be a little bit uphill. Not the easiest path. So what do we tend to want to do? We'll take the one that's smoother, easier, And sometimes we might not choose God's path because we think it's too hard. Sometimes we think it's too hard. I can't walk in it. I can't follow it. Well, I'll just tell you right now that you can't without His help, but with His help, you can take every step. Every step. You can walk in it. You've got to believe that. When pressed, I think it's so strange that many believe that if people would follow, they even call it the good book. They say, the good book's got a lot of good things in it, and there's a lot of good direction in there, so it's got a lot of good instruction, and really believe that if people would follow it, they'd have a good life. And they even believe, that this would be a better world we live in if people would do it, but yet they don't follow it themselves. Interesting. They say they believe, there's a good way here, there's a good path, but I'm not walking in it. Really? Why is that? If they would walk in it, if we would walk in it, we'd find something more precious than money can buy. We'd find something more valuable, more wonderful. Our lives would be so much more full and abundant of good things if we would walk in it, if we would. And God actually says here that we'd find something very, 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 very priceless. What is it? He says, and you'll find rest for your souls. So he said, right? If you walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. That sounds to be like something Jesus promised. Matthew 11:28, didn't he say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden or burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. That's interesting. Was Jesus calling us to a new way? Even when he said, a new command I give you, he said, but it's not really a new command. To love one another, that's an old path, folks, that Jesus was pointing to. Old path. It's all the way back to Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Old path. Old path. One we could get back on, right? Jesus was really pointing us to the Father. Wasn't he? Wasn't he saying, I've come that you might have life and life to the full? I've come to show you the Father? I've come to do that? Wasn't he directing us back to the Father? Wasn't he coming to get us on the right path to the Father? Of course he was. Think about that. Rest for the soul. Not for the body. It doesn't say that. I mean, you would like to have rest for the body. And that'd be a good thing. Wow. I got me a nap yesterday. I was so far gone. Nina had to call me like 3 times to wake me up. I just kind of put myself back in the recliner. I was out. I mean, out for the count, It was good to have rest for the body, but rest for the soul. Peace in troubled times. Contentment in lean times. Joy in tough times. Rest, relief for weary, burdened hearts. How many of you would like to have that today? How many of you think there's a need for that? For all of that. Wouldn't you think it would be worth the journey to get back on that path? Wouldn't you think it would be worth turning around and going back to find that? But what so many people do, and what I confess I have done so many times, too many times, is think, well, you know what? I'll just go forward another few steps and I'll find it. I'll just keep going my way a little while longer, and I'll find it. I'll press on my way, and I'll find it. Will I find it? No. Never. But you'd think it'd be worth it, right? Judah evidently didn't think it'd be worth it. Because I didn't share this. The last phrase, the conclusion of that verse 16, they reply, "We will not walk in it." Huh? Huh? What do you mean? You will, with all the benefits, the goodness, all the, you're not going to. Well, what in the world would keep anybody from wanting to walk in it? What in the world would somebody choose over what's being offered? As a father, I can't think of a more heartbreaking or disheartening picture than standing maybe at my door, holding it open, trying to call a rebellious child home. Hey, come on. Come on home. Come on in. Sit down at the table. Feast. Come home. Recline. Rest. Relax. With me. Spend time with me. Take a shower. We got clean clothes for you. New clothes. We got your bed ready for you. Clean sheets. Your favorite pillow. It's there. Ready for you. And having the child say, "No thanks." I'm not ready to come. I'd rather keep going my way. But that's what they did. And that's what people do today so often. The father's pleading. Got the door open. There's a place prepared for you. Come home. I'm not going to beat you up. I'm not going to chew you out. I'm not going to scold you. I'm not going to make you relive that past. We're going to leave it at the door. Come home. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. My presence. I believe we all come to junctions in life where, again, we need to stop and ask that question. Where am I going? Will it get me where I really want to be? I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you want to end up. But I believe this with all my heart. Jesus said it. He declared it. There's only one way home. There's only one way. He came to point to the way, and He is the way. If we've been traveling any other path, it's time to yield. Yield to the Father's plea. Yield to His call. Yield our will to His. And just come home. Let's pray. Father God, I am amazed at your patience. I'm amazed at the abundance of your love and mercy. I'm amazed that you didn't close the door to lock it. When people just rejected you time and time again and would refuse to even acknowledge you, let alone come home to you. But God, I am so thankful this morning that that patience, that that mercy, that love, it was offered to them as offered to us. And I pray, Father, that we this morning might stop and look and ask ourselves that question. Am I headed in the right way, the right direction? Am I traveling that path? Am I following in the path you've given me? Or am I going my own way? Father, I pray that your Spirit might convict us all. The determination and resolve to respond to your love with love. And accept your calling to come home. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing, that's why we praise him. Praise team can come forward. We often sing this as a closing song, you know, and it's really pretty upbeat and all that kind of thing. And I thought, what kind of a segue do I make from what we were just talking about into this? Praise him because he's calling you home. That he still loves you. That he still wants you. That he still chooses you. That the door's still open. Praise him. Praise him for what he's done for you in Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing together.
Live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our light. He came to die, so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise, to show His power and might. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our this King, 'cause He gave His everything, 'cause He gave His everything.